Tonight, we are going to start a new series. You say, how long's this one going to last? I have no idea. I've got enough material probably to last us 2 years on Wednesday night. I have no idea how long I'm going to take on it. We'll teach for a while, and if you get tired of it, we'll quit and come back to it later. But I'm excited about this. I think I can help you tonight. Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse number 5. We're going to read through verse 13. You follow along quietly there. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her. She is thy life. Now, we live in a world that is starved for wisdom. The farther away from God our world gets, the more we need wisdom. Our world is sick. Now, verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Now, that word principle doesn't mean first. Most people think that's the first thing. No. The word principle is even a bigger word than foundation. And some folks would say that word principle means foundation. That's not true. It has the connotation. Now, I'm going to stretch it just a hair, but you do the study, you'll find out what it means here. It actually means Adam. It is what everything is made up of. In other words, wisdom has to be fused into every aspect of what your life is. That's what it means by the principal thing. It is in every part of your life. For instance, you drain your blood out of your body, you drain your life out of your body. Your blood is in every part of your body. It is a principal thing. It's not just a part of your body, it's in all parts of your body. And wisdom is much the same. It is in every part of your life, or is supposed to be in every part of your life. Let me show you what I mean by the world is in sick shape tonight. Our country is $17.5 trillion in debt. As of this moment, we are just shy of $17.5 trillion in debt. You say, that's a lot of money. You don't realize how much money that is. America is going into debt at a rate of between $0.5 trillion, that's $500 billion, and $1 trillion every year. For us just to pay off the national debt right now, every human being in the United States would owe about $54,000. Let's see here, Brett and Melissa, there's four of you in your house, right? That means Brett and Melissa would have to pay $216,000 to pay their share of the national debt. If there are two people in your house, you'd owe about $108,000 just to pay your portion of the national debt. That means a family that makes $50,000 a year, if there are four people in your family, it would take you 4 years, your entire salary, just to pay the national debt, your portion of it, for 308 million people. Let me take it a different direction. I did some calculating today. If you took $1 bills and you lined them end to end in a chain from here to the moon. Now listen to this. It's 238,000 miles to the moon. If you took $1 bills, put them end to end, you could make 13,926 chains to the moon and back with $1 bills to equal $17.5 trillion. If you put them side by side, that is a chain that is 464 feet wide, 13,926 trips to the moon. That's 1.5 times the size of this building wide. Imagine enough $1 bills to make 1.5 of these buildings standing up this way and then going all the way to the moon. That's how big our national debt is, folks. And growing by the second. Unbelievably. Our world is starved for wisdom. If you took the $1 bills and tied them end to end, you could go around the earth 69,050 times. You could go wrap the earth almost 70,000 times with $1 bills, with our debt. That's just our country's debt. That's not the world debt. The world needs wisdom. Everybody doing okay? Christians need wisdom. Morality is now looked at as strange, cruel, and weird. Our nation was founded on biblical principles. And now it's almost illegal to be a Christian. Young people were in D.C. From a group where I was at recently. And one of their teachers said, "What did you learn most about being in D.C.?" And they said, "How in the world can those people say we're not a Christian nation? Every building you look at, it talks about God. Every building down there talks about God. How could it be that they can live there, work there, and deny that our country was founded upon Bible principle?" By the way, that's a high schooler. Got more sense than most of our politicians. We used to educate people in our schools and teach them to read and write. Now, the public school system has become a cesspool of evil doctrine, socialism, and God haters. Let me say this. That doesn't mean every person that's in a public school is a God-hating socialist. I'm just telling you what their doctrine portrays. It used to be that the teachers ran the schools. Now the students run the teachers. That's just the way it is. You go back in American history 60 years, they didn't know what a guard was at a school. The guard was the teacher, and if you got out of line, they whomped you. And I mean, whomped you good. Shoot. Neighborhood I grew up, if you did something at a neighbor's house, the neighbor whipped you and then called your mom, told her that she whipped you, and then you got it from your dad when he got home. See, now you get put in jail for that kind of stuff. Tonight, we're going to start on a long journey on the topic of wisdom. You say, why? Because it's the principal thing. It's that thing that is infiltrated or to be infiltrated in every aspect of your life. Now, one of the great benefits of being a Christian is we get to get wisdom from God. We need it so that we don't have to make so many bad decisions in our life. Now, listen to this. Man, left to himself, thinks like the United States media or the United States government. It is no wonder that the U.S. media and the U.S. government thinks like it does. If you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, we won't take time to turn there right now, But you find Satan tempted Eve with what our country is doing right now. Eve, wouldn't you like to decide good and evil for yourself? Wouldn't you like to be like God and be able to decide what's good and evil for yourself? Is that not what our world is? Everybody does that which is right in their own eyes. By the way, nobody is born a sodomite. Nobody. It's not a disease, it's a sin. Alcoholism is not a disease, it's a sin. The legislators are using alcohol to bring marijuana into legalization, just so you know. Well, it's no different than alcohol. They're right. They're both wrong. Amen. Instead of legalizing the marijuana, why don't we make alcohol illegal again? Let's use wisdom. See, we need to use God's wisdom more than we need to use man's wisdom. Man, left to himself, is doing what man is doing these days. Now, let me help you. What, number one, is wisdom? I have about four definitions I want to give you for wisdom. And we will review these week after week after week after week after week, so don't worry, you'll get it. Number one, wisdom is seeing life through the eyes of God. Good definition. Wisdom is being able to look out ahead, see the effects of a decision now before you make the decision, and being able to see how it's going to affect down the road. Those of you that are teenagers, you don't have much wisdom. You don't have the wisdom to see, yeah, it's fun getting behind the wheel of that car and driving 90 miles an hour. You don't have the wisdom to see what it's going to do to somebody if you hit them, what it's going to do to you yourself, what it's going to do to your car, and what it's going to do to your insurance. When I've taught my children to drive, parents, you want to tip teaching your children to drive, this will do it. It's a 4,000-pound weapon. Treat it like a gun. A loaded one with an itchy trigger. Say why? Because that's exactly what a vehicle is. There are more people killed by vehicles by far than killed by a bullet. So it is a weapon. Okay, moving on. Wisdom has that ability to see in front, behind, beside, both sides, up, down, looks all around before it and sees how it's going to affect all situations before it makes a decision. Let's go where I don't want to go. I got to back on my diet. Wisdom says, yeah, that looks good. But man, how hard am I going to have to work to get that thing back off? Ugh, I hate that. Wisdom is, yeah, I can go out there and pick that thing up, but how many days am I going to hurt and how many trips to the doctor to heal from picking that thing up? See, that's called wisdom. Being able to look and see at all aspects how it's going to affect. Second definition of wisdom. Wisdom is doing the right thing, the right way, at the right time, with the right people, at the right place. Wisdom is doing the right thing, the right way, the right time, with the right people, in the right place. Do you know that not all sin is necessarily bad? It's just wrong timing. Yeah, the physical relationship between a man and a woman is not a bad thing, but you get it out of time or with the wrong person, and it is. Everybody see where I'm headed with that? Okay. God's order is as important as what is done. Boy, that's good stuff. Next, wisdom is the ability to use right knowledge at the right time, treating people rightly while you use your knowledge. You know, I know a lot of smart people, but they try to beat everybody up with their knowledge. It's worthless. That's exactly what many politicians are trying to do to people. We're smarter than you. We know what you need more than you know what you need, so we're going to do this whether you want it or not. That's not wisdom. Wisdom says, I have the know-how, I have the knowledge, I know how to use my knowledge, but I'm not going to step on you while I use my knowledge. I had teachers throughout my education. Some were better teachers than others. Some taught me more than others, and some only taught me what not to do. I had one teacher in college, no lie, 95% of the people that took his class failed it every time they took it the first time. And I'm here to tell you, he was a lousy teacher. Now, I passed it the first time. Not by much, but I did pass it. He had a photographic memory. Brother Ed, you know which class I'm talking about. I watched men sit there and read the newspaper, work on homework projects while he taught so that they could take the tests, get the tests, have him correct the tests so that they had the answers for it the next time they took the class. He taught class like this. While he talked, he was reading the notes off his head. And he would just pace back and forth. 40 minutes, this is how he talked. Never look at anybody. Am I lying, Brother Ed? It was miserable. Now, I passed it. His questions had nothing to do with what he taught. Now, I'm here to shout, any teacher that gives a test that nobody can pass is a lousy teacher. If you have to show off how much you know by what you did not teach, you're not real bright. That's beating somebody up with your knowledge. Everybody doing okay? When I taught in high school or college, usually the lowest grade in my class was a B. I reviewed every day. I read from the test every day. I read the test questions that we had covered. Say why? I used my test as a reinforcement of what I taught, not a test of what I know to see if they know what I know. I'm supposed to know more than they know. But I promise you this, I could pull out some old tests. There's people in here that took my class. Most of you could still pass the test. Say why? Because you actually learned it. There's a difference. See, education is more than just puking out a bunch of facts. It's getting knowledge so that you know how to use that knowledge. Boy, that's good stuff. Yep. Lastly, wisdom allows you to see life in a way to avoid many pitfalls. Not all. You'll never avoid every pitfall. But wisdom is that what you get in your life to avoid making bad decisions in your life. Do you know that some things, if you'd have just stepped back and looked at it once, you'd have said, I shouldn't have done that. And if you'd have done that before you did it, guess what? You wouldn't have done it. How many of you have ever made a decision, while you made the decision, you knew it was probably going to go bad, but you did it anyway? Raise your hand. Okay, you gained wisdom. How many of you wished you would have just slowed down enough to say, I better think about that first? See, wisdom says, I'll wait till I think through that. I'll wait till I think through that before I do that. I could take you to a whole bunch of times in my life where I've done that, but my dad took care of it and taught me wisdom. Amen. Now, that's what wisdom is. Then, what are the benefits of wisdom? What happens if we get wisdom? What good comes from having wisdom? I've got about five or six things here I want to list very quickly for you. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. I'll show you scripturally some things here that God promises, not Brother Bush, but God promises. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse number 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Wow. That's a pretty powerful passage, isn't it? Now, this her or she, this lady referred to here, all the way through the book of Proverbs, this lady is in reference to wisdom. It's always referred to as a lady, and we'll teach on that some night, and I'll show you why later. Wisdom, the Bible says, is better than riches. Look at it again. Verse 14, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Wow. God said, wisdom is better than silver and gold. It's better than money. Can I tell you why? Look at me for a second. Wisdom will teach you how to use your finances more wisely. I know people that have a lot of money, but they're very foolish with their spending. Wisdom teaches you how to save money and not spend all you have. It'll teach you how not to waste your money. I'm trying not to sneeze, just so you know. And you really don't want me to do that. All right. Wisdom is better than riches. Some of you want more money when you should be asking God for more wisdom with the money you do have. I'd rather have wisdom, because if I use what I do have more wisely, guess what? God promises to give me more. Boy, that's good stuff. Next, wisdom gives you longevity and success and life. Look at verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. God says here that he'll make your days more productive, more successful, and I believe he'll give you more days because of wisdom. We were back in Ohio last week, and one of the men that was there on staff, he in a private moment looked at me and he said, Brother Bush, you're still a relatively young man. I said, can you say that again? He said, no. He said, you're a young man. He said, how in the world have you done all you've been able to do in such a short time? I said, I don't know. I just did it. I said, it must be that God just chose me for that. I can't answer that question. He said, what was your schedule? I said, was or is? I said, at what point in time? He asked me specific questions. I said, I'm as busy now as I was then. I said, my schedule really hasn't changed a whole lot. Just what I do is. He said, how do you keep it all going? I said, hopefully what the last 25 years taught me, I can keep this going because of what I learned. It's called wisdom. That's exactly what I told him. Can I tell you something? That's what wisdom does. It allows you to maintain more. Daddies, be careful as your children grow up. You don't expect them to perform at the level you are. You get a boy that's 15, 16, 17 years old, and you're 40, 45 years old, and expect your son to perform like you do, guess what? You didn't perform like that when you were his age either. You got a 30-year jump on him. Everybody doing okay? Mommies, be careful. That little 2-year-old is not perfect. That little 3-year-old is not perfect. Nor is your 4-year-old. Did you know why they call it the terrible 2s and terrible 3s? Because them puppies are acting like lost kids. You know why? Because they are lost. It's very difficult for a Christian parent to look at their child and say, my kid's as lost as a goose in a snowstorm, just like the drunk on the street, but he's acting just like one. You know why? Because he's just as lost. Once they get saved, they have the Holy Spirit of God to convict them and the truth of the Word of God to convict them, and you have something to build on. But until they get saved, it's a battle. It's like living with a lost person in your home, because you are. That's why you pray for them to get saved every day of their life from the time they're conceived. Pray for them to get saved early in life. Say why? So you don't kill them. Boy, that's good stuff. Wisdom gives you longevity of success, influence, and life. Wisdom also gives you honor. The Bible says that that it gives you honor. There are people that look for fame, look for wisdom. God will give you the honor you deserve. I don't worry about honor. I'm just trying to be as wise as I can be to help as many people as I can help. Wisdom helps you enjoy life better. Turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Wisdom helps you enjoy life better. Proverbs chapter 24, look at verse number 13. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Wow. God said that your life can be more enjoyable, pleasant, like honey or in honeycomb. It'll be sweeter because of wisdom. The Bible also says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 17, we won't take time to turn there, but wisdom produces peace. Wisdom produces peace. Now, everybody look at me. About a year ago, I preached a sermon on this. People think peace means that there is no conflict. No, peace is a result of conflict. Peace is a result of strength, either coming through a battle or that strength backing a battle away. Everybody doing okay? We will not have peace over in the Ukraine right now till America steps up and rattles the saber to be strong. We are allowing Mr. Putin to do the same thing that Mr. Churchill and Mr. Roosevelt did in the 1930s and let Hitler walk right over Europe. Well, we'll just let him have that back. Oh, no, 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 no. Somebody's got to stand up in that turkey's face and say, we're tougher than you are. Back off, Jack. Excuse me, Vladimir. You know, fewer people get upset when you have wisdom because you don't make as many bad decisions. Wisdom keeps you from making bad decisions, which keeps peace around you. Boy, that's good stuff. You know, if you use wisdom, you make fewer mistakes. That means you are less upset with yourself and others around you. Wisdom allows you to fix problems before they become problems, which means you don't have as many problems. In other words, wisdom allows you to keep all relationships smooth around you. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be ripples in the water, just so you know. But have you ever been on a big ship? You get on a big ship, you rarely feel a wave. There's enough weight to that ship to where that little wave doesn't affect it very much. Those waves can be going on, but if you got enough wisdom, you're going to crash right through those and never even feel it. That's what wisdom does for you. Now, excuse me. I just choked myself. Praise the Lord. I need more coffee. Amen. How do we get wisdom? How do we get wisdom? Now, I want you to get this. Number one, we must ask God for it. Turn to James chapter 1. I think every Christian ought to memorize this verse. I feel that this may be one of the most important verses in the Bible for you to memorize. James chapter 1, verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If any man if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Hello. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God says, if you ask me for wisdom, I will give it to you. That means you have to pray and ask God for wisdom. James 1:5 may be the most important verse you could memorize. God is the source of all wisdom. Let me say that again. God is the source of all wisdom. Do you know that the evolutionist says that there is no proof of creation? You have to accept that by faith. Do you know that you must accept evolution by faith because there's no proof of it either? They have their faith in a monkey. I've got my faith in Jehovah God. I'll take Jehovah God over their monkey any day. God is the source of all wisdom. By the way, that book right there are his words. Guess what? You need that book right there. The Word of God and God himself is the source of all wisdom. I personally believe, now listen to me carefully, the younger you are, the more you need the book of Proverbs. I have read through the book of Proverbs hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. I used to read through the book of Proverbs every month. If you read through the book of Proverbs one chapter a day with the corresponding day of the month, today's the 5th. If you read Proverbs chapter 5 today, tomorrow read Proverbs chapter 6, you can read through the book of Proverbs 12 times in 1 year. Guaranteed. It'll change your life. For many, 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 many years, I'd never heard this. I went to work with Brother Hiles. He told me he read through the book of Proverbs every week. Showed me how he read through the book of Proverbs every week. I started doing that. I did that for many, 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 many years. I have read through the book of Proverbs so many times, I can quote just about half of the book of Proverbs, and I haven't even set out to memorize the verses. Say why? It's amazing how much wisdom I need. How many times I get in a situation, and God has that to pull from then and says, remember what the Bible says? Oh yeah, let me, and I'm right there. I'm quoting verses. You need God. You need the Word of God. By the way, listen to this very carefully. That's why what Bible we use is so important. Is it man's words or is it God's words? David didn't say this and Paul didn't say this. God says this. There's a difference. Preaching and the teaching of the Word of God is something you need for wisdom. You need Sunday school. You need Sunday morning church. You need Sunday night church. You need Wednesday night church. You need all the Bible you can get. You say, well, I've been a Christian for a long time. I'm not that bad a person. You need wisdom. Amen. When you get too old to need wisdom, you're too old. You're too old. I probably shouldn't say this. My 95, almost 96-year-old grandma, we were with her last week, and she said, honey, she said, I hate to admit it. She said, can't hardly hear anymore. She said, the saddest thing about getting old, she said, I can't see my Bible anymore. She said, I can't read the Bible. Tears in her eyes. She's got a magnifying glass. I'm not kidding. It's got a light on it, and it's about that square. It's got a hump that comes up about that high. I mean, if you put it over for a regular person, each letter is about that big. She can't even read. Her eyes are so bad. She's got glasses. I'm not sure why, because she can't see any better with or without them. She can't hardly hear. She's got two hearing aids. And she said, I just don't go to church much anymore because I can't hear and I can't see. She said, I'm ashamed to say it. She said, I miss my Bible. You say, well, get her a CD or a tape player. She can't see the buttons to play it with. She can't push the buttons on it. She can't find them. It's sad. I told my daughter, she said, Daddy, that's so sad. I said, I know. I said, I wished I could help her. I said, but isn't it great? The thing that she misses most is the Bible. I said, hold on to that. You'll need that someday. So the Word of God. Then, so we get wisdom from God. We ask God. We get it from the Bible. We get it from preaching and teaching. Next, wise people are a source of wisdom. The Bible says, they that walk with wise men shall be wise. Do you realize you get wisdom by being around people that are wise? And I'm going to say this. You need to spend time around people that use scriptural, biblical wisdom. You need to spend time around your Sunday school teacher. You need to spend time around the preacher. You need to spend time around spiritual people who exercise wisdom. Some of you young people think you know the answers to all of life's questions, and you haven't even lived enough of it yet to even know what the question is. We used to joke at the college all the time, if you ever want to know how to fix all the world's problems, go ask college freshmen. They know it all. It's amazing how much you learn when you leave college, though. It's kind of like your parents. Teenagers, I know you can't stand your parents, but in about 10 years, you're going to be making statements that come out of your mouth, and you're going to think, I told myself I'd never say that. I'd never say that. Guess what? You will. It'll come out your mouth, and you're going to go, I should have. I was never going to say that. Oh, I've done that many a time. Many a time. You can borrow wisdom. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. You can borrow the mind of Christ, the wisdom of Christ. Folks, you need to get wisdom. By the way, that's why I'm here. And I'm not picking myself up, but many of you would make fewer bad decisions if you'd get some advice before you made them. Say, well, you just think you know everything. No, I don't think I know everything. But I just happen to believe that if I yield to God and you have a need, God will tell me what you need. That's what the man of God's for. There's times I've helped people. They've walked out of my office. I've gotten my pen down and said, man, I got to write that down. That is so good. Not sure where that came from, but boy, am I glad it came. Huh. And by the way, some of you need to quit making decisions when your decision maker's broken. Some of you think you have a better understanding of life than you really have. Okay, moving on. So we get wisdom from asking God, prayer. Number two, from wise people. Number three, this is the one that I don't like. We get wisdom through the reproofs of life. Now, a reproof is getting whipped. The whoopings of life. Now, I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I didn't get spanked for the same thing twice. I may not have been the smartest, but I was wiser than people that got beat every day for the same thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. The reproofs of life means this. You learn from the mistakes you make. Okay. Everybody look at me for a second. That means this. When you're going 50 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone, and the guy in the car with the funny lights and the funny horn pulls you over, and you get a ticket, you're not supposed to blame him. It's your fault. You're supposed to learn from it and then do what the speed limit says do. Man, I got real quiet in here on that one. I went from preaching to meddling real quick, didn't I? It's true. I haven't had a speeding ticket in the last 24 and a half years. The last one I got was going to my wedding. I could see where the speed limit sign changed from 35 to 45 was. I got up to speed before I got out of the 35. And the guy pulled me over. I still have the ticket. My wife kept it in our wedding album. But what was funny was my brother was in a car behind me. The cop had to pull around my brother to get to me. Not only that, my dad and mom were in a car behind his car. Not only that, there was another car behind them that was going to the wedding. I had three cars following me. This cop gets out. My brother's got his, back then it was camcorders. He's got his camcorder out there, and he's just taking pictures of this. He's got it all on video, man. Me getting out of my car into the cop car. Me getting out of the cop car back into my car. Showing him my ticket as I go. That's the last speeding ticket. I drive the speed limit. I get tired of paying speeding tickets. I didn't want higher insurance. So there's one sure way to fix that. You drive the speed limit. Guess what? When I see a police officer, my foot doesn't hit the brake right away. I'm not like you. See, the reason you do that is because you don't drive the speed limit. Okay, moving on. Learn from the reproofs of life. Listen very carefully to this statement. God will not force you to obey. He may humble you by allowing you to reap what you have sown in sin, but he will not force you to obey. You know that God doesn't come over and judge you. Let me teach you something about Christianity that has been mistaught. God does not judge you because you're disobeying him. He doesn't see your sins. Your sins and transgressions does he not remember? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It says no condemnation. God does not come down because you're living in disobedience and judge you and force you to obey. He may back away and allow your bad decisions to fully come to fruition through the laws of sowing and reaping, but he's not judging you. He's just taken his hand of blessing off of you, and he's allowing that sowing and reaping to hopefully bring you to repentance to get back to where he is. Everybody doing okay? Yes. It's not God judging you. Well, this is all going bad. God must be telling me I'm in the wrong spot. No. Maybe he just wants you to get right with him. How's your Bible reading? How's your wisdom? This is probably a bad illustration, but I don't know how to do it. We're getting to that time of year, fellas, soon as the rest of the snow's gone. About March, you're going to start putting fertilizer on your grass. You're going to put crabgrass preventer and dandelion preventer down. Say why? You can put it on in the spring and prevent that stuff from ever coming up. Wisdom is like that crabgrass or dandelion preventer. You put it on and it keeps the bad from coming up. But if you don't put it on, you'll still have a lawn, but you're going to be fighting weeds and dandelions all year. Wisdom is that preventative. Y'all understand what I'm talking about there? All right. Failure is not bad as long as you don't keep repeating it. Do you know that failure is a step to success? Do you know that nobody succeeds at everything they do the first time they do it? Do you ever watch a child learn how to walk? They fail and 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 they finally start walking. Whereas my dad would say, you spend the first 2 years teaching them to walk and talk and the next 16 to tell them sit down and shut up. That's pretty close. But nowhere in life do you automatically succeed at everything you do. I have never been a person that required anybody to get straight A's. I just want them doing the best they can do. I know students that get straight A's that are not doing their best. Everybody doing okay? Some need challenged in other areas far more. So challenge them. The grade on the grade card isn't the issue. And I don't mean this the wrong way. I'm 46 years old. Very few people ever asked me what I got on my report card. Yep. Very few. If ever. See, failure is something that is good as long as you learn from it and don't repeat it. Now, when you start repeating failure after failure after failure on the same thing, you're not learning from it. You're not getting wiser. Boy, that's good stuff. Yeah. I got to quit. Let me say this and I'll be done. Wisdom is not gotten and then you never need any more of it. Wisdom is not one of those things you go and purchase a can full of it and it stays on your shelf forever and keeps reproducing. Wisdom is like a piece of pipe or a wire. These electrical lines that we've run for these lights. You have to buy that wire, and as long as you keep it hooked up to the power, guess what? It works. You disconnect it from the power, you got trouble. Can I tell you something? That's what wisdom is. You've got to get it and get it and get it. You got to stay hooked up to the source. You go to turn your shower on in the morning, and if the pipe isn't hooked up, you got a heap of problem. As long as that pipe stays hooked up, everything's okay, isn't it? And it's available when you need it. And that's exactly what wisdom is. It's that pipe, it's that wire that you've got to keep connected at all times so that it's there when you need it. By the way, you do need the pipe in the shower regularly. Okay? Regularly. That's more than once a week. That's every day. Okay? Wisdom is like that pipe or that wire through which God is allowed to flow through that to help you. I never have claimed to be the wisest person in the world. I'm not. I can tell you I've spent my whole adult life doing what I'm doing. I've helped thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and untold thousands of people. I've been through untold number of experiences to learn from those things so that I can help more people. That's what it's all about. Is that not what wisdom is? By the way, that's what a doctor does. He sees enough patients that after a period of time, he recognizes the symptoms of different things. That's why generally an older doctor that's had a lot of experience has a little bit more wisdom. He's seen more things. That's not always true. But generally, that's true. In today's society, I'm not sure that any of that is true. But a person that's had a lot of experience generally has more wisdom than a person that has less experience. Say why? Because they've been through more situations. They've seen it done right. They've seen it done wrong. They learned from it or they didn't. The most frustrating thing about bringing up children is watching them make mistakes when you know they're going to make it and you could have prevented it. That's when you get your nose torqued. You get angriest at them when they won't listen to you because you know they're going to make a mistake and they won't listen to you to keep from making the mistake. That's frustrating. By the way, that's what it's like to pastor. I watch people make mistakes. And I've warned and warned and warned and warned. And I got to watch them make the mistakes and say, okay, let me help you. If you'd have just listened, that's what you want to say, but you can't. Let's get wisdom. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Wisdom is the principal thing. It is the blood. It is in every fiber. It is the atom of life. It is that commodity, that principal thing that is in every aspect of your life. We as Christians need wisdom. I don't care if you're an older person. I don't care if you're a middle-aged person. I don't care if you're a child. You need wisdom.